Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word tonight is street.
Really?
No, wait.
No.
S-T-R-E-E-T, street.
Really?
You bet your life. The National Broadcasting Company presents Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life, a comedy quiz show transcribed from Hollywood. And here he is, the one, the only...
Well, here I am again with a chance for each of our couples to win up to $10,000. And if any of them say the secret word, they'll win an extra $100. George, who's first?
Well, Groucho, remember last week you didn't have time to finish talking to our last couple, so they're back again tonight to play You Bet Your Life, and here they are, Gene Oddmark and Henry Piffle. Would you come in again, please, and meet Groucho Marx?
Welcome to You Bet Your Life. Say the secret word and divide an extra $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Now then, before we were interrupted last week, Henry, I learned you were a Los Angeles cab driver.
That's right.
And, Gene, we find out you're married?
Yes.
But I didn't get a chance to ask you how you met your husband. How did you meet him?
Well, I actually met him on a blind date, but it wasn't really a blind date.
You mean you were loaded?
No. No, I met him on a blind date, but he wasn't blind. He wasn't blind to me because I've seen his history before.
What do you mean you were blind? You were groping at each other? What is a blind date?
Well, a real blind date is when you go on a date and you don't know what your date is to look like. Mm. But that's what I'm trying to say. I knew what he looked like ahead of time.
Well, how did you know what he looked like if you'd never met him?
Well, I'd seen his picture. I saw his picture in
the movies?
No. I was at a girlfriend's house at a sorority house, and I saw his picture there. He was...
What was your girlfriend doing with his picture?
No, his picture was with a lot of pictures there. It was at a sorority house, and the pictures had just been returned from the dance, and he had been...
You have all the boys' pictures in the sorority house, and then you go like this and say, "There's one for you, one for me."
That was a good idea.
Is that what you do? Through this thing and look for a victim.
Well, you just sort of look. You do look.
You do.
Yeah, just to look.
And what attracted you to this particular victim?
Oh, he's real good looking, and he's real a lot of fun. He was real smart.
He was.
Yes, he's real smart.
In what way?
In what way?
He wasn't smart enough to remain single. I mean, just how bright was he?
You are measured. Only an IQ of 135, I guess. Maybe that's
an IQ of 135? Well, your husband and I have something in common.
Yes, sir.
135 is exactly what I weigh. What's his collar measurement?
The collar measurement?
The collar, around here, yes.
16 and a half,
that's my IQ. Now, Mr. Pepper, let's get back to you. When you were here last week, you had some fairly critical things to say about the people who ride in your taxi cab. Is this your general approach to life?
Yeah, because I am a perennial criticizer. I'm an improver. I'm the guy who's against it.
You're a nonconformist.
Yes, all the time.
Uh-huh. But what do you gripe about?
Everything. I've been giving the yellow cab company suggestions for 17 years on to improve business. They still got the suggestions. They still have the business. They didn't do a thing I told them.
Well, there is one obvious way in which they could improve
business. The same thing in the army.
Uh-huh.
I was over here when the war broke out, so I enlisted. I tried to enlist. They turned me down. A week later, I was drafted. Anyway, so I go there and I tell them. I tell them I speak German, I speak French, I speak Italian, a little bit of English, I hope. And I asked them, I said, well, I've lived in Europe, I know the country, I know everything about Europe. They said, this is terrific. They wrote it all down on record, everything. Send me to Asia. But I took it then.
Are you Ferrara?
Yeah.
You are, huh?
You mean you're married?
Yeah. And now her name is Piffle, too?
Yes.
What a dirty trick to play on a girl.
Yeah. That's what my wife says, too.
Yeah. Now, Henry, do you take a lot of kidding about your name?
Oh, yeah, all the time. But it doesn't bother me.
No? What do they say to you?
Well, friends would be sitting around, you know. And
sitting around what?
At home, when my mother was still alive, and we'd be drinking coffee or something, and the phone would ring, and my mother would pick up the phone, and somebody would say, hello? Could I speak to Mrs. Gisela Verbatier Piffle? So, she she would say, yes, yes. And she said, well, is that the Gazella Verbitzer paper that has the shoe store in Boston? And my mother would say, no. And said, well, then I got the wrong Gazella Verbitzer paper.
You mean this fellow called up every night and asked your mother?
He called up once in a while. Such things occur all the time.
But didn't your father object to this?
My father? No, he did. My father, why should he object? It's good business. My father was managing my mother.
Just by the telephone?
Not by the telephone, in the business. Mm-hmm. My mother used to be a very, very famous actress in Europe.
Is that so?
Yes, very famous. She was the equivalent of Ethel Barrymore, Mary Dressler. She was a real, real great actress. And he was managing her affairs. That's the real
name. Well, what name did she play under?
Because I love Abbott's Fisher.
I knew her very well. We played together one time in a shoe store in Boston. Now, what does your wife do?
She complains.
Well, you have a typically happy marriage, huh?
Yes, very, very much. We like each other very much.
Now, how did you meet your wife?
In the army.
In the army?
Yeah.
You mean she was the enemy even then?
No, not then. No.
No. How did you meet her?
Well, I was in the army, and I was a private.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a captain. And we couldn't dance together, and we couldn't go to the show together, and we couldn't talk together.
A lot of privates can't dance with their captain.
Well, it was against regulation.
It's not customary either.
So we got married. The best thing you can do is get married. If you want to get around any regulations, get married. Then they set up new regulations and go to work.
You got married so you wouldn't break regulations.
Exactly. And I made a couple 2 weeks later. I think she did it. I don't know. She must be giving me a promotion or something.
You know, that's like shooting yourself to cure a headache. Well, how has your marriage worked out? Do you ever argue?
All the time.
You
all
do.
The time. But we enjoy it.
You're kidding, huh?
No. We're exactly the opposite.
What? You quarrel a lot?
We quarrel all the time.
About what?
Everything that comes along. There's always a reason to argue. You see, first, my wife, she's Republican.
You're
a Democrat. Yes. So she's born in the United States.
Did you know she was a Republican when you married her?
Yeah, she wasn't ashamed of it. Well, I told her I was a Democrat. She said, I'll marry you nevertheless. So it came out even.
Well, you were both very broad-minded about it.
Yeah.
Well, Henry, it's been refreshing.
All in fun, right?
Yes, it is. Oh. We need more men like you, especially on a rainy night when we're looking for a cab.
I'll be there.
Now then, you have chosen, out of our list of 331 categories, you selected a dictionary quiz. I'm going to give you the words, you give me the meanings. If you miss two in a row, you're forbid.
Ausgespiel,
jawohl. If you get four in a row right, you win $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready? All right, what is a pachyderm? P-A-C-H-Y-D-E-R-M. Talk it over.
Prehistoric animal.
No, I'm sorry.
No?
No, it's an elephant. Or a rhinoceros, but they're not pretty.
I'm thinking of something about with the nose thing.
You were thinking of something with a nose?
Yeah.
You have one wrong now, Henry. Don't get the next one wrong or you're out of the game.
Okay.
This one she'll know. What is an osculation?
It's a kiss.
It's a kiss.
It's a kiss.
And you have one right.
All right, now what is nepotism?
Self-admiration,
father? No, it's the excessive favoring of relatives. That is, if you're in an important job and you give a relative who is an incompetent a job, that's nepotism.
Mm-hmm.
He isn't necessarily an incompetent, but he usually is.
They have one wrong again.
Right. All right, now what is an apiary? A-P-I-A-R-Y.
Mm-hmm.
Apiary?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know, guess.
Relationship to an ape? No. No, I think
no. It's a bug house. No, a bee house. A bee house? Yes, that's where bees live.
Could
sort of think something else you've been wrong with.
Yes.
You have two wrong, you're out of the game.
I'm sorry, Miss Tunero, you're all through. However, we don't want you to go away empty-handed, so I'm going to ask you one more question for $100. And please no help, because this is a very difficult question. Get a rag and you get $100. Which is the female, the hen or the rooster?
You answer.
The hen is usually the female. Sorry you didn't win more, but thanks anyway for being on the show. You bet your life. See you later.
Once again, the one and only Groucho.
Groucho, Dick, and Dara Preble are standing by, so folks, you can please and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome to You Bet Your Life. Say the secret word, and you each get an extra $50. It's a common word, something you see every day. Dick and Dara Preble. Dick, your sister's a very attractive girl, and so you'll understand why I talked to her first, won't you?
Groucho, she's not my sister, she's my wife.
Well, in that case, she's still beautiful, but not quite as attractive as she was a moment ago. Well, what is your hometown, Dara?
Los Angeles, California.
You look like a typical California beauty. Now, where were you born?
I was born in 55th and Broadway.
Oh. And which corner, do you remember? Because if you ever get back to your birthplace, remember, you can now make a right-hand turn against the light. Dick, where are you from?
Well, I was born in Waterbury, Connecticut, Groucho, but I grew up in Hingham, Massachusetts, and Lincoln, Massachusetts.
What sort of work do you do?
I'm in the group insurance business. I sell group life insurance.
Well, do you insure valuables like Dara?
Yes, I might even say that Dara probably has more insurance than she needs.
What a temptation that must be. Does that make you uneasy, Dara?
No.
Well, how did that happen to the wife of an insurance man? I would imagine you'd protect her against this assault.
Well, actually, Groucho, I sold her some insurance before I knew we were going to get married later on.
That's a new approach.
I guess I got stuck because now I have to pay the premium.
That's poetic justice if I ever heard it. What happened on your first date with this insurance company, Casanova, Dara?
Well, he called me and asked me if I wanted to go for a cup of coffee, and I said, could I bring a girlfriend? He said, no.
I don't blame him. After all, he had a dime invested in you, and why should he throw away a second dime on an unknown quantity? So what happened after that? Did you two start mooning around on the next date?
No, he said if you want to see me, you call me.
Oh. Independent type, eh? You know, 30 years ago, I tried that on a girl in Toledo, and I'm still waiting for the phone to ring. Well, Dick, my apologies. I certainly underestimated. You've got something, and furthermore, I'd like to have it. You know what that certain something is that you've got, Dick?
No, I don't think
I do. I said, you've got a beautiful wife who is heavily insured. If he ever brings you a glass of warm milk before you go to bed, take my advice and have it analyzed. Now, do you love birds? Have any arguments? I don't mean violent ones, you know. Just normal ones, like where you bounce a flat iron off his head and he tries to run over you with the car.
Well, occasionally we have an argument about our year-old baby.
Oh, you have a child, huh?
Yes, uh-huh. A little boy. And I want to have a maid for the baby, uh-huh. A nurse.
Well, I'm on Dick's side there. I think you should wait until the boy is around 18 and let him get his own maid. What's your objection to a maid, Dick?
Well, nothing, actually, Groucho. I just don't want the baby to become too fond of the maid.
That isn't the problem. The problem is how to keep you from getting too fond of the maid. So anyway, we wish you lots of luck, and let's play You Bet Your Life. Now, I don't know what you've chosen here, but it looks like cities and small towns in the United States. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Here are the cities and towns. You tell me the state. Greenville, Hattiesburg, Vicksburg, and Leakesville.
Mississippi, Groucho.
Mississippi is right.
We're on the right track. One right, three more right, and $11,000.
In what state are these places? Minot, M-I-N-O-T, Fargo, McCluskey, and Cavalier.
North Dakota.
How did you know that?
Because he told me.
You're halfway to 1,000. The next two right, it's yours.
Here are the places. What's the state? Clarksburg, Parkersburg, Berkeley Springs, and Buchanan. Buchanan. Buckhannon. B-U-C-K-H-A-N-N-O-N. Buckhannon.
I don't know, Groucho. I think a guess would be Wyoming.
Pretty close. It's West Virginia.
Well, now you have one wrong. Don't get the next one wrong, or it's all over for you.
Now, what state is these cities and towns? Elmira, Malone, Herkimer, and Utica.
New York.
New York. How did you know that?
Because he told me.
All right. Well, ready? Chambersburg, Reading, Altoona, and McKeesport. What state are they in?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania is right.
Two right now.
In what state are these? Provo, St. George, Ogden, and Logan.
Utah.
Utah.
One more right and you have $1,000.
Benton, Radford, Galax, and Roanoke. What state?
Virginia.
Virginia is right.
And you got four in a row, so you win $1,000.
Now, you want $1,000. You can keep it and quit, or else you can come back later and try to double your money. You may even get a chance at $10,000. So go over there and sit down and think about it. And if we don't see you later, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Groucho.
From November 4th, 1957, you're listening to Groucho Marx on You Bet Your Life on the Golden...
Now, George, let's find out what our young married couple is going to do about the big money.
All right, Dick and Dara Rubble, would you come back, please?
Well, I'm glad to see you again. You're going to try for the big money, eh? You won $1,000. Now, if you decide to try for the 10 and you fail, you wind up with a total of $500.
Now, we're going to go for the big money.
You're going to go for the big money. Now, get together and pick a number from 1 to 10 and then spin the wheel. If any number besides the one you pick comes up, this question is worth $2,000. However, if your number comes up, this question is worth $10,000. Now, what number do you want?
10.
10? Give it a fling. Well, you couldn't get any closer. Your number was 10 and it landed on 9, so this question is worth $2,000. That's not too bad, is it?
Well, that'll be too bad if you don't get it.
All right, for $2,000, who succeeded Sir Anthony Eden as Prime Minister of England? Talk it over. What's the answer you decided on?
Oh, I know, Groucho. I just can't think.
Take a guess.
Well, I guess we don't know.
It's Harold Macmillan. Oh. I'm sorry, mister, but you wind up with $500. That isn't too bad. Congratulations, and thanks for being with us.